We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Friends, welcome to Pod Maverick After Dark. I'm Kirk Henderson, editor-in-chief over at Mavs Moneyball, joined as always by fellow editor and co-host Josh Bowe. Josh, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. Finally an early game after the West Coast trip. Feels much better.
An early game and a workmanlike performance from the Dallas Mavericks. That mm-hmm. fourth quarter was basketball.
But 2006 time traveled in a violent way into that fourth quarter.
Detroit Pistons game, a Pistons Spurs game from 2004. Heinous. But the Mavericks walk away with a victory, and you know it's kind of like the opposite of the loss to the Warriors, where you know we said it was like, all right, this is just one of these games that the Mavericks lose, and then we proceeded to kind of nitpick for 20 minutes because that's the point of that's kind of what we do. And this game, on it, quite honestly, feels like the polar opposite in the fact where the Mavericks won, but I don't really know what to talk about. And I'm really curious about what you want to say. I mean, there's really one real big highlight for me, and then everything else is just kind of like, oh, this is nice.
Well, I don't know if I'm on the same wavelength as you for the one big highlight, but for me, this game is the defense, the fourth quarter, the kind of the sloppiness of the game, like the fact that the Mavericks won. Like, if I would have told you, 12 months ago?
Oh, yeah.
That this Mavericks team would win a game shooting 40% from the field, you would have laughed at me.
That's a great point.
Considering, but what was it, like, remember the record? Like, they only won 38 games last year, and they basically only won those games when they made, like, 18 three-pointers.
That's right. And they got wrecked in all the clutch games. It was horrible.
Yeah. So the Hawks and the Mavericks combined for 30 points in the fourth quarter. Like, I kind of have to read that. Like, in a league where 30 points by one team in a quarter is, like, normal, mm-hmm. both teams combined for 30. The Hawks only scored 2 points in the final 6 minutes of the fourth quarter, and those 2 points only happened because Kyrie Irving intentionally fouled with a minute left to start garbage time and empty the benches, and the Hawks were the bonus. That's so, amazing. The Hawks scored 0 legitimate points in the final 6 minutes of the fourth quarter. The Mavericks played really good defense. Hawks were on the second out of back-to-back. That certainly helped. But not to take anything away from the Mavericks defense, the Hawks shot 9 of 13. No, sorry. The Hawks shot 9 of 23 in the restricted area.
That's
nine
hard. 9
of 23. 39%. That's great defense. 39%, league average is 66. Like and that's the Mavericks, right? That's what's been this turnaround. Mm-hmm. They locked down the rim, which is quite amazing when you consider before the trades and last season, they were one of the worst paint defenses in the NBA. So they locked down the rim completely. And then they also disrupted the Hawks on the perimeter, and the Hawks were sloppy. Hawks had 21 turnovers. That's a lot. Everyone in their starting lineup and the Hawks starting lineup had at least two.
Jesus, what in the world?
Four of the five Hawks starters had at least four turnovers.
19 turnovers amongst the starting five.
That's insane.
Like, we would be having a conniption fit if the Mavericks did that. Like, that would just be all we talked about the whole game.
Yeah. I feel bad. Any Hawks that are on, I hope you were on your blood pressure medication in that fourth quarter, because that was rough. But who cares? We're a Mavericks blog, so it doesn't matter. But the Mavericks played good defense. So on the other side, everyone in the Mavericks starting lineup had at least one block, and four of the five had at least a steal. So yeah. You know, they're making defensive plays, and they locked down the paint.
Jason Kidd just must be he must be in heaven, because
this is what he wants.
You know, it's for a guy who is an unbelievable fast half court player. I think he really enjoys the mud.
Great defensive player.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, one of the best defensive guards of all time. And it's, you know, this is one of those things where, as we get older, I think you got to remind the kids out there, for example, that, you know, part of why LeBron James averaged 17.8 points in the NBA Finals is because Jason Kidd guarded him in spots. One of the many Mavericks defenders. But this is just one of these things that it's nice to get a win, because we're kind of getting to the point. You know, April basketball, March basketball is usually bad. April basketball, but you know, with the onset of the play-in tournament, April basketball has been significantly better. March basketball has been significantly better. April basketball can really be absolute garbage, and there's just certain teams, like the Hawks are mathematically, they cannot avoid the play-in. They are stuck at the 10th East. They lose out, they're still in the play-in.
And they're 36 and 41.
Right. The East is just such a joke of a conference. So it's you know, we very easily, you know, if they were one spot lower, we very easily could have been treated to a game that was just so devoid of meaning. Instead, they're still trying to play because, you know, they're professionals. But you just don't really know what you're going to get on a night-in, night-out basis. It's just something to watch here. So the my main takeaway, and I think I'm sort of obligated to do this, is I really was pretty tough on PJ the other night, and you know, it's not the man. I love reading the comments where people just sort of latch on to one thing I say. That's fine. This is what happens in sports and sports podcasting. But we managed to say that, like, PJ has been pretty awful offensively the entire time he's been with the Mavericks, and it has mattered precisely like twice the entire time he's been on the team. The Warriors game was one example, because if he's going to shoot at volume, we need him to hit shots. Tonight against the Hawks, he was absurdly efficient. 19 points on 11 shots, 5 of 8 from 3. His three-point shot is positively regressing in the right ways over these small sample sizes of numbers. But PJ is he's just an effective all-around player. So it's like, when his shot is going in, it makes him look outstanding. And when his shot is not going in, you're like, well, fuck, if he can only make a shot. It's not like he gives you nothing. You know, that like one of the things about, like, my friend John Gennaro sent me a text message, and he was like, this sounds like the way you guys used to talk about Dorian. And I was like, Dorian couldn't do anything other than shoot threes, though. Like, PJ can do a little bit of everything, and that's what makes his off games look so weird. Tonight, though, was great. It was really great. I enjoyed watching him play.
Yeah, it's the first time he scored. Oh, my gosh. When was he traded to the Mavericks? I'm looking at his... So, fun fact, this is the first time with the Warriors game and this Hawks game, he's had two straight games in a Mavericks uniform at 15 points or more.
Wow.
Which sounds crazy, considering, like, he's a career, you know, what, 15 point scorer. So that just goes to show, like, he was in, you know, he's been in a slump. But I think he's like 18 of his last 40 from three. I don't know if that's accounting for tonight or if that was entering tonight. So he's above 40% in his last six games. So maybe things are slightly, you know, regressing back to normal. The thing that's funny, though, is, like, all three of his misses were, like, two of his three misses were just so bad.
The announcers, he came in off the bench and he was a little cold, and the announcers about 30 seconds just praising him, and then he shoots the air ball. I fucking cackled. I was just, because it was just so amazingly like on it was just right there. But the reason, and people misunderstand, like, we don't criticize for the sake of criticism. It is pointing out that if the Mavericks want to be functional, the further they get in the playoffs, PJ Washington cannot shoot at volume and score inefficiently. He cannot do that. Like, that is a recipe for the Mavericks losing. He will get shots. Defenses are probably going to look at what the Mavericks do and say, we're going to be okay with PJ Washington taking the jumper. He has to make them pay, right?
Yeah, I mean, his defense is a plus, but like in the playoffs, like if teams are putting their like opposing center on him and playing free safety and roving, like he's going to have to make those shots to change defenses because it's really hard to play 4-on-5. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how good your defense is. Like, it's really hard to play 4-on-5. So, but the thing is his defense was so good is at the bar. Yep. For him, like, he doesn't have to score 19 points and hit 5 3-pointers.
Nope.
He just has to hit like a couple, like, and maybe score in that 10 to 12.
He can't have range. An 0 for 10 game. Like, right. That's, you know, that's right. Just what we really mean. Like, I don't care if he's shooting 30%, he can't shoot 10%. And that's just kind of the nature of it. Okay, we're 10 minutes into the show. This is probably going to be a shorter one tonight. So those of you who are here, if you could consider hitting the like on the stream, would very much appreciate that. I had a pretty crappy title for the show tonight. I was very tired making this. And so I don't have any sort of keywords that would make the algorithm pop. So we just have slightly fewer live viewers tonight, people checking in and out of the show. After you've hit the like button, if you wouldn't mind considering subscribing, Josh and I, as you know, do these after every single game, and we will kind of ramp up as we get into the playoffs, because this is what we work all year for as content producers. We want, when the interest is the highest, we want people to consider giving us giving us their attention. Last but not least, if you're listening on an audio stream the next day, please go ahead and consider leaving a review. Josh and I very much appreciate that. And if you ever want to, you know, talk basketball with me, have any questions, you can find my email relatively easily. Send me a DM on Twitter. I tend to answer just about everything still these days. All right, now I'm going to insert some audio ads on the audio version only. So if you want to wait just a second and listen to those, that's probably the main way that Josh and I actually make money from this whole thing, which, you know, helps with daycare and the like. So we would appreciate it.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right. Thanks so much for bearing with me at that part. So what else should we chat about for the remainder of the show?
I mean, the defense was great. Luka didn't score. I think he was held scoreless in the first and fourth quarters, which is kind of bizarre, but still had a pretty effective game. 25 points, 12 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals and a block. His defense was really good. He had that
minus was ridiculous.
Yeah, this might have been, I mean, I don't know. You know, I don't, all these games are starting to run together. This might have been his best defensive game of the season. He had a really good closeout on DeJounte Murray in the corner and kind of forced him baseline. And Murray tried to do the thing where he was falling out of bounds and he was going to like throw the ball off Luka to get the possession back. And Luka kind of like ducked out of the way and just got a free steal and just picked up the ball and ran with it. Like, that was a pretty good play. You know, he had a block, 2 steals, already mentioned that. But yeah, like, his defense was pretty good. And I think that was pretty key considering he was clearly not all the way there offensively. He was 6 of 15 from 3, so his 3-pointer was working pretty good. Like, you'll definitely take 6 makes on 15 attempts considering the types that he's taking. Inside the arc, you know, he was a little suspect. He only was, what, so that if he's 6 of 15 from 3, that means he was 2. If he was 8 of 25 overall, so 2 of 10 inside the arc.
That's horrible for him.
For him, that's horrible. Really bad. And with the way this game was being officiated, he was getting nothing. You know, he only had 3 free throw attempts. Like, this was a really... I mean, they let these teams both just maul each other to death. Like, this was a really good example of how the game is being called differently since the All-Star break. Like, if you want to take one game and be like, look at this, like, this game did not exist 6 months ago. Like,
No, that's true.
Not have happened.
Well, what I'm finding so interesting about it, just while we're kind of getting into the nitty gritty, is I feel that as the game has gotten more physical, Luka has bitched less.
I think that's accurate. I think he's still talking a lot, but it's less of the...
It's not demonstrative. Like, I'm not noticing it. He's not screwing the team on defense because he's screaming at a ref.
Yes, that's what
he's. He's waiting to a stoppage and play. He goes up and he has a conversation. I still see a lot of the talking, but not like the kind of stuff.
He did have one where he took a 3 and missed it, and he thought he got fouled on the 4th, and he got knocked down. And the Mavericks got the offensive rebound, and he was like... on the floor talking to the ref while the Mavericks were playing offense, which was kind of funny. But that was like the only one I noticed. But yeah, you're right. I think it's because, I mean, maybe they understand, like, it's not like he's getting screwed on the other end. Like, you know, they're not calling it for the other guy either. So, I mean, maybe that's helping him a little bit. Kyrie had a pretty interesting game. If we're trying to figure out some things to talk about before we go, he was 10 of 21 from the field. And I don't, let me pull up his shot chart. Like, he didn't make anything in the paint. Like, he was like all jumper. That was kind of the key. That was kind of the theme of the night, is no one really made anything in the paint. Yeah, Kyrie made no shots in the restricted area, and he was 5 of 11. Yeah, so no shots at the rim. He was 5 of 11 in the paint outside the restricted area, 2 of 3 for mid-range, and then 3 of 7 from 3. So that's kind of funny. I mean, nothing wrong with that. It was just like that. It was that kind of game. There was just... There was nothing going. The Mavericks were only 9 of 13 at the rim. Good percentage, but only 13 shots at the restricted area. You know,
this, you know, but that sort of speaks to what happened in the first quarter. The Mavericks, you know, we didn't really criticize them early, but the Mavericks looked like dog water in the first quarter. I got some messages and one in particular from my friend Harold, who just said, you know, this looks like a game where kid doesn't have the guys ready to go. And my response was, like, at a certain point in the season, it's up to these guys to come out and want to play. And they turned it around for a long enough period, kind of in the third quarter, to really put the game away, but make the game comfortable to where they could hold on. So,
yeah, the game was never in doubt in the second half. So that's huge. And, like, again, it was the defense. Like, the thing about the Mavericks defense right now is they're going to give up some threes, and they gave up some threes tonight. But like they're walling off the rim and they're just getting around screens a bit. Like they're playing this drop coverage, but they're kind of mixing things in, and Gafford has been a lot better. They're not helping off the strong side as much like they were when they lost those games coming out of the All-Star break. I feel like they're being deliberate in the shooters that they're leaving open, and like when to leave a shooter open and when to stay tight. And then their big men are just want, like Gafford and even Maxey. Like Maxey played a hell of a defensive game. I mean, yeah. he was all over the place, like switching out, rotating over the rim. Yeah, he was moving really well. I mean, he had 6 rebounds in 20. Like Maxey doesn't rebound, so like he had 6 rebounds in 21 minutes. Like, you know, he was moving around pretty well. He also had 7 points in the first quarter, which was like almost more points than he scored.
I mean, you go look at the guy's game log. He had at the beginning of February, he had back-to-back games where he scored 35 combined points against the Sixers and the Bucks. And then other than that, he has one other game all season in double digits where he had 12. Like, scoring is just not he's averaging 4.1 points a game. Like, that's just not part of Maxey's game anymore. But even, you know, Jeff Skinwade commented on it on one of his made three-pointers where it's just like, Maxey does have a pretty shot. It's just the thing with him is it's like the confidence to shoot the shot. And he is so interesting in that when it's like they gas him up at the right times, and that this has happened over the years. And then he looks like it's like, oh, well, that's the guy that the Mavericks want. And, you know, earlier in the year, I think we had talked a lot about him to the point where we were wondering why he's playing. And now I think he has a pretty suitable role. I don't really want to see him at the five very much, but I
kinda,
do like
kind of has to right now.
Right now, which is fine because it's, you know, it's patchwork until, you know, we should talk about Derek Lively briefly. Yes, we should. Yep. But it's patchwork with him and Powell in the backup minutes. And tonight, you know, what was Powell? Powell had a couple of pretty awesome plays, but just
three rebounds in 8 minutes, 2 of them offensive, good hustle plays.
I didn't get 100 messages of why is Dwight Powell playing type stuff, and that tends to be what happens when he normally plays. So
yeah.
I don't really, you know, I don't really know. Let's briefly touch on the Lively thing from as far as what we know, and then maybe we can kind of just look at the standings and chat a little bit about what's happening in the league.
Yeah. So I don't even – so they still haven't clarified his injury outside of knee surgery. It happened against the Warriors game, and I honestly didn't think it was a big deal because I don't know if he went to the locker room when he left the Warriors game, but, like, he was sitting on the bench in the second half, and he was, like, celebrating. Like, he didn't look in, big discomfort. He was still getting up and clapping, like – and he was still sitting with everyone. He didn't have a trainer working on him. And so I just thought it was like a precaution. And now, you know, in these last few days, kid has been like, he's probably out for 2 weeks and they don't know if he's going to play.
This feels like bullshit. I really think so. Because number one, if you're on crutches,
doesn't mean anything.
It's a protection measure.
Right.
And they're basically telling him to stop putting weight on the damn thing. And that, like, that doesn't speak to the severity. And you know, when you're 7 foot tall and 20 years old or 19, whatever it is, it's just, it's one of these things that it's purely precautionary. I wouldn't be shocked if he's out the whole time. Your camera just died.
I got no,
I wouldn't be shocked if he's out until the playoffs, just because, like, what's, you know, the Mavericks are currently, and we're going to talk about this in a second, but they're currently kind of, they're like locked into five. But they're in the driver's seat to hang out where they are.
Yeah, I mean, but they're one game from seventh. Like,
sure, but look at what happened tonight. The Kings lost.
I know.
Like, the Kings lost a horrible, like, the 20-point comeback to the Knicks. The Clippers are getting annihilated by the Nuggets already. The Brandon Ingram, I'm pretty sure, is still hurt for the Pelicans. Yeah. And he's interesting. Like, I can't believe that he's the special sauce with the Pelicans when it felt like him and Zion could not coexist. And yet they finally found a way to make it work. So it's just one of these kind of interesting things. Man, our comment section in these chats sometimes just like lose their
minds.
What's happening? Nothing. It's like, I don't understand. Like, why would you join this podcast to sit here and argue about something that we're not fucking talking about? Like, there's there's a Luka discussion on whether he's a ball hog, and a non-Mavericks fan keeps talking about it, yada, yada, yada. And it's like, who cares? Stop arguing with people on the internet. Go touch some grass is my thought. Like, I love having a good discussion.
And that's coming from you.
Yes, but that's my point. Like, I'm going to win the YouTube comments argument. Anyway, I just sort of think they set him Lively the rest of the year. It sounds like a lot when you say it out loud, but it's six games, unless I can't do math, which is entirely possible. Maybe he comes back for one of these.
He has to be healthy for the playoffs because it's been two games. You know, they played a half without him. No, two games because he got hurt in the Houston game. Mm-hmm. So they played that Golden State game, this Atlanta game. Obviously, they're 1-1, so it's not like, you know, they're 0-2 without him. But right. Like, you feel his absence in the second. Like, you it's do. Noticeable. I'm not on the floor.
But I think we can effectively say that Kidd lost his mind for elements of that Warriors game, and they were still within a bucket.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So it like if it happens again tomorrow night, if it happens again tomorrow night, okay, because again they play the Warriors. if they play the Warriors again tomorrow night, you know, the Warriors play the Rockets and effectively eliminated the Rockets from the play-in tournament tonight. So it's like kind of a question of what do the Warriors want to do. I'm sure they want to keep trying to win just to kind of keep the momentum together. But, you know, do the Mavericks come out and play with a little bit of spice since they lost just, you know, on Tuesday night? I mean, this time of the year, like weird stuff happens.
Yeah. And I mean, the Mavericks schedule, you know, they can get away with that lively because, again, Golden State and Houston are their next two, and those teams might not have as much to play for. Then it's Charlotte, who's really bad, and Miami, who is kind of good. But, like, I don't know. I don't think that Miami team is as good as their record, and their record's not even that good. And then Detroit, and then Oklahoma City, who might not have anything to play for in the last day of the season. So they could definitely squeak by. I mean, it would be cool to see them get 50 wins, but it's not worth messing up any playoff, playoff impact. You know, they would need 4 wins in their last 6 games to get 50 wins. So, totally doable, but you don't want to jeopardize your first round matchup. They can definitely get through it. The schedule is light enough. I'm just kind of pointing out, even if they are winning these games, like I'm feeling Lively not coming in when Gafford goes out. Like you can tell that they're definitely missing him, even with Maxey playing okay. Dwight gave them some okay minutes in his 8 minutes. You just feel it. Like they play differently. Defensively, they're still holding up in these two games, which is pretty good. I mean, that's actually a pretty good sign. I actually think they're missing his offense. I think they're missing his screen setting and his verticality because Maxey doesn't rim run anymore. And he never really did anyway. And Powell, who, you know, years of being a really good rim runner, but I think he's just at the end of his – getting near the end of his career. But, you know, he's basically a bench – you know, a pure bench warmer kind of guy now. So – they miss that. They miss having, you know, a dominant screen setter, rim runner, you know, almost all 48 minutes, which is what they did when they're healthy. So they'll need him back for sure, but they can get by.
Yep. All right. I am, you know, I'm really tired. I need the Mavericks to make the play, to avoid the play-in, just so I can not think about the Mavericks for, you know, I mean, of course I'll think about the Mavericks, but it's just the night in, night out grind of the games, the way this schedule has gone this year. Do you remember that part earlier in the season where the Mavericks played like 2 games in 9 days and we're like trying to figure out what the fuck to do with ourselves?
Yeah.
Oh God. It's my fault. I mean, this Warriors game, if everybody will recall, this one, I think on tomorrow is one that's been rescheduled.
I think it was actually the one last night. I think
it was one before. Okay.
The one before. Yeah. Because otherwise they would have never had that crazy. They went from.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Because the NBA the actually travel. Does care about the travel a little more than it feels like sometimes. So that's a good one. So they got, let's see here. They got Warriors, Rockets, Hornets, Heat, Pistons, Thunder. Did you see that 50-point game from Malachi Flynn?
Yeah.
I love, fucking love. We're effectively at the 10-year anniversary of Mavericks legend Corey Brewer scoring 51 points or whatever it was. I love random 50-point game. I think
that's the lowest career points per game average for someone to score 50 points in NBA history.
This is the funniest comment. Kirk is extra restless bitchy tonight. That is the most accurate thing.
You haven't been bitching tonight.
A little bit. If you see me arguing, I turned and started arguing in the comments.
Oh no, oh no!
Because I'm a shit. Okay. Everybody, it's all jokes. Nobody really cares. It's basketball. I don't know, man. You got any? What are you going to do for the rest of the night? Because it's early here.
Go, I think go I want Go to bed.
Go to bed.
Yeah. I didn't sleep well last night. The allergies, like my sinuses right now, it's over, man. I'm done. Like, I can't handle it right now.
No, when I watch you rub your eyes, I'm like, oh yeah, Josh is allergic to Earth.
Yeah. I wake up in the morning with like the eye goop, and like I'm waking up at like 4 a.m. because I can't breathe through my nose, and I'm just like, wow, what sweet death can bring me some relief maybe, but you know, I need to try to get some shut eye when I can right now.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go watch, I was going to do a live show, but nobody's here and I don't really feel like fighting with everybody tonight. I don't know. Maybe I do feel like fighting, which is probably why I shouldn't host the live show. Because it's like, I get a little sassy in the typing, and you know, this is why I should take my own advice and go touch grass. I think I'm going to go watch Invincible tonight. And I also want to watch, what is it? I want to watch, I'm not caught up on Shogun, which is the most cool looking television show that I've watched since Game of Thrones. So
I need to watch that. I'm going to get on it after we move.
Oh yeah. Well, it's a single one and done season, which is exactly the Josh Bo special. There's not 90 things you got to watch beforehand. All right, this has been Kirk and Josh. We'll be back tomorrow night. The Mavericks play at home again versus the Warriors. I'm going to just a full disclosure, I will probably miss a significant chunk of the game because I have to coach a 8 p.m. flag football game for 8-year-olds, which is going to be like, I don't understand the scheduling. Like my child goes to bed by 8 o'clock, so he'll be super excited. He's like, I get to stay up late, play football. And it's like, yeah, he won't be able to remember the snap count because it's it's ridiculous, Josh. They have him. Our coach was like, well, he's played before. So he's like, we're going to play him at quarterback. And I was like, my son can't make multiple decisions. Like, this is going to be bad, but it'll be fun. All right, everybody have fun tonight. Everybody in the comments, thanks for hanging out. Don't take me seriously. I'm just a little whiner, including the gentleman I was arguing with. I appreciate somebody listening to the show. I shouldn't be doing that. I just can't help myself. This has been Kirk and Josh of Pod Maverick. Everybody be good and have a great Friday. See you tomorrow night. Go Mavs.